Chapter 2. A day or two later, in the middle of the night, I heard someone in my room. Della had never responded to my message. She'd gotten it, that much I knew. But I couldn't tell if she'd read it or not. She had that information blocked, as most people did. To tell the truth, I'd done my best to forget about the whole thing. I knew my mom was still tense about the situation. Every time I saw her, she asked me questions I couldn't possibly answer. How tall was Etta now? What did she weigh at birth? Were there complications during the delivery? What was the name of this husband fellow, this faceless stepfather, who was supposedly caring for the child while her crazy parents were off getting themselves repeatedly killed on alien planets? In answer to all these queries, I could only shrug and shake my head. She growled at me every time I did that, accusing me of a dozen forms of idiocy and negligence. I took it all in stride. I knew she was upset, and with good reason. Della and I were far from ideal parents. A sound in my room alerted me to the presence of an intruder. It was the crinkle of loose paper on dirty carpet. I knew the sound well, as I often made a similar noise every time I crossed my littered floor. My big knuckled fist twitched reflexively on the neck of the bottle of Kentucky bourbon that was still in my grasp. I'd fallen asleep with the bottle in my hand because I'd run out of beer yesterday. For all my faults, I'm a Legion-trained veteran who's been physically assaulted more times than I can count. Such experiences never fail to change a man. I think, in truth, I was never fully asleep anymore. Some part of me was always awake, watching, listening for the smallest hint of danger. The part of my brain that was still operating set off alarm bells tonight, and I released the bottle with a sudden splaying of my fingers. The bottle thumped down, and the contents began to glug out onto the carpet, another in a patchwork of innumerable stains. That same hand flew upward with unerring aim. My fingers found a throat, and they squeezed. My eyes cracked open, and I coughed. The action caused a tiny line to be cut into my windpipe. Someone had a knife at my neck. "Drop the knife," I said to the intruder. Blood ran down my neck, warming it in twin lines. For a brief moment, the intruder and I struggled in the near blackness. I wasn't about to let go of that throat. Sure, the knife wielder might well kill me, but it would take a few seconds for the life to run out of me. You ever seen a pig with a cut throat? Often they wriggle for a long time before they stop twitching. The neck my fingers were wrapped around didn't feel all that thick or strong to me, and I figured I could probably squeeze my assailant half to death before I lost consciousness. I was okay with dying for a good reason. Sometimes putting a good scare into an attacker gave them pause the next go-round. Sure, I was probably the one who was going to take an unscheduled trip through the revival machine by the end of this fight, but my murderer was at least going to know it hadn't been easy. For about 5 seconds, the two of us grunted and strove. Then I heard a sound that surprised me, a thump and a metallic clatter. My attacker had dropped the knife. It was gone from my throat, no longer sawing there. But I didn't let go of my assailant just yet. I groped with my other hand and clicked on the light. Della's pale face grimaced at me. She looked pissed off. I let go of her and sat up. She gasped and rubbed at her throat. There were finger marks there that would bruise up by morning.
"If it was anyone but you, James," she said, "your head would be lying on the floor."
"You should have knocked," I replied. "Normal people on Earth do that. You know about knocking, right?"
"I like to be in control when I enter an unknown situation," Della explained.
"That's not a good enough reason to sneak into a house and put a knife in someone's face, girl."
"If you'd only relaxed and let me control the situation, you wouldn't be bleeding now."
"I'll have to try out that theory next time I come over to your place." We both took deep breaths and tried to calm down. It took longer for Della to settle down than it did for me. She had a bit of a temper. Della and I had always had a strange relationship. She was paranoid, and so was I. We'd killed one another on several occasions. When a person has a history like that with another person, there are always trust issues afterward.
"Why did you send me that note?" she demanded.
"Because I wanted to talk to you."
"I know that. About what?"
"Etta. And my parents. That surprised her. She blinked and frowned thoughtfully.
I thought it was about Turov and Klaver, about some new scheme you'd hatched to take over the world with those two.
Now, hold on, I said. I'm no rebel. I just tend to accidentally get involved in the plans of others. She chuckled.
Yes, and then you screw them up. All right, then. Tell me what your parents want with Etta.
They want to see her, of course. My mom's talking crazy about going out to Dust World on her own. I explained the situation at length. She seemed baffled by some points, such as my mother's extreme desire to meet her one and only grandchild, but at the same time she seemed pleased that they were taking such an interest.
Maybe I should have brought Etta to Earth to be cared for by them, she said thoughtfully. That had never occurred to me.
That's an idea, I said. Della shook her head, frowning. She picked up her knife and sheathed it while I watched her hands carefully. Della and I had killed one another just about the same number of times as we'd made love. I didn't like those odds, so I always kept my eyes open when I was with her.
I don't think I'd like to raise a child here on Earth, she said at last. It's too different. Your people are soft and lazy, James.
Not me. She looked up at me and laughed.
No,
she admitted.
Not you.
So that's what I wanted to ask you about, I said. I wanted your permission to visit Etta. She gave me a baffled look.
Permission? No permission is required. You and your parents are blood related. You have the right.
It was my turn to look her over in appraisal. I realized at that bleary moment just how little I knew about how she would respond in different situations. In a way, I'd picked the most culturally diverse person I could possibly have found to mate with. That hadn't been my plan, but that's how it had turned out. Hell, she wasn't even from Earth. We spoke the same language, but that was where the similarities ended. A girl from any continent on my home planet would have been more comprehensible to me than Della. Okay, then, I said. So you wouldn't mind if we traveled out there to see Etta? But there's another party involved. What about your husband? Her eyes flicked to my face and dropped away. She shook her head.
Don't worry about that.
What? How can I not worry about that? He'll have thoughts of his own. I'm sure you realize that. He might not appreciate seeing me and my parents. You have to warn him or send him a note at least. What's his name?
Don't worry about it.
Why not? She looked up at me again, troubled. She heaved a sigh and sat on my couch. I sat beside her, puzzled.
My husband, she said finally. He doesn't exist.
He doesn't... What?
There is no stepfather, James, no marriage.
You lied?
I didn't lie. I'm not a liar.
What would you call it, then? I demanded. She looked uncomfortable.
I don't like to be called a liar. I'm a scout, an honorable member of my...
Look, let's forget about that. Who's taking care of Etta if there's no stepfather? Is your father doing it?
The investigator?
She asked incredulously.
No, he's much too busy guiding my people for such a trivial thing.
Who then? Don't tell me she's out eating rockfish on her own. She squirmed.
Natasha. Natasha is doing it. She wanted to help. She volunteered.
That left me scratching my head. Okay, I said. Natasha is caring for Etta. Oh.
What?
Now I understand why you lied. You told me about Etta back on Machine World, but at that point you hadn't confessed about Natasha yet. So you made up the stepfather story to cover for Natasha. But then later, you told me about Natasha's copy. Why didn't you confess then?
A scout does not lie. At least, we're not supposed to.
I see. You had to cover up one lie with another. That's the kind of thing I understand. I get into trouble that way myself sometimes. Della stood up angrily. I couldn't help but admire her body as she struck a sleek pose without trying. I didn't think I'd ever met a woman who was more fit and graceful. She wasn't like an Earth girl that worked out all the time. It was all natural with Della. She was like a feral cat possessing a body built of tight muscle through natural means.
I don't see why I even came here,
she said. All you offer is insults. She took a step toward the door, but I gently caught her hand. She stopped and frowned back at me.
You'd best let go, she said.
That's why you kept coming to my bed back on Machine World, isn't it? I asked, hanging on to her lightly. You weren't really married, but you couldn't tell me. I shouldn't have rejected you back then, but I didn't know the truth.
What's done is done. Mistakes were made. Now I must go.
My mind worked with unusual speed. I only had one move left, I could tell that. Then I'd have to let go of her hand before she cut mine off for me. Don't worry, I said. Your honor is safe with me. I could tell by the look on her face that was the right thing to say. Some people think I'm as off-key as a hound in a firehouse, but with women, I've often managed to turn a bad situation around at the last moment. We all have our gifts. Della smiled. The whole mess between us had been about her honor. She'd been lying about one thing or another since I'd met up with her again on Cyclops, and it had been grating on her. By assuring her I wasn't going to run around talking crap about her, she was instantly relieved of her greatest fear. She sat back down on my couch decisively. I'm not going to claim I'm a master of timing, but I am an opportunist. I rarely pass up women who are smiling and within easy reach, for example. I put my hands on her gently, and she didn't resist. We were in a lip lock inside of 5 seconds. I had to mentally congratulate myself. Della had been converted from a murderess stalking me in my sleep into an urgent lover inside half an hour. But it wasn't all my doing. That's just how things tended to go between the two of us. There was no middle ground. Things progressed quickly. She bared her breasts and then her teeth as we made love. I'd seen the last part about the teeth before, and it had always freaked me out a little. She turned animal when we had sex, every time. I can't think of any other way to describe it. Afterward, I inspected my bloody throat in my bathroom mirror. Damn, that girl had come closer than I'd realized to severing my carotid. I put a band-aid on the wound and gave a long whistle. I was impressed. I was glad she hadn't pressed her sharp blade into me another few millimeters. A morning meet and greet with my parents would have been awkward if she'd killed me the night before. After I washed all the blood off, we curled up on the couch together. We slept in a warm tangle of limbs until the gray light of dawn cut through my tattered curtains.